I know you're gonna dig this. Welcome to the End Zone Club, where we have conversations that are designed to push you from walking in potential to fulfilling your purpose and introducing our host, Anthony Mitchell.
Yo, what's up, everybody? This is Anthony Mitchell. Just wanted to say that we have some company today, meaning I got a special guest who's going to keep it hot, flavorful. But before I introduce him, I do have to say, whatever platform you were streaming this podcast from, please give us a like, a share, a rate, a subscription. Help us to get this content out to the four corners of the world. But before we do so, we got to hear from our sponsors. So stay tuned.
Wherever there are shadows, there are people ready to kick at the darkness until it bleeds daylight.
I'm Rodney Olson, the host of the podcast Bleeding Daylight. Every week, I host inspirational guests from around the world who have overcome life's struggles and are making this world a better place. Hear how they've refused to let their past define their future on Bleeding Daylight, wherever you find podcasts or at bleedingdaylight.net.
Now that we've heard from our sponsors, I have to say welcome back to the End Zone Club, where if you didn't catch it the first time, I will repeat it, and that's where we have conversations designed to push you from walking in just your potential to fulfilling your purpose. Often these conversations are wrapped around things we know now that we wish we knew when we were younger. With 2023 coming into full view now, we're almost through the month of January, it brings me great joy in saying that the podcast known as the End Zone Club has been in movement. What that means is other platforms have extended opportunities, i.e. invites for us to come along and to share our heart and our vision for ministry, which is something we have been doing in the community for well over 20 years. With that said, today you're going to hear in its entirety an interview that I was afforded the opportunity of presenting to the Clergy Talk podcast with Pastor Michael Vertner. Got to give him a quick shout out for allowing me the opportunity to come on his platform and to discuss youth ministry. In addition, to allowing me the permission to share the content with you guys, our listeners. So, got to get my preliminaries out of the way. Please, if you've enjoyed this content, again, I will repeat, like, share, subscribe. Please donate. With that said, buckle your seatbelts because I'm getting ready to go live in 3, 2, 1.
Wonderful, wonderful. So tell me, how did you get involved in youth ministry?
Wow, good question. So actually, I grew up in the church. And like most church kids, church was something that I was made to do. It wasn't really a part of my life. So my parents had the old school virtues of, if you're in my house, you're going to serve the Lord. So with that being said, since it's like, hey, you're going to serve the Lord, I started off as a musician. And one thing about it, having old school pastors, we grew up under the holiness affiliation. You're going to do what you're going to do for God, and you're going to do it with all your might. So if that means Friday nights while everybody's at the football game, you're playing at a revival. That's what it meant. So from there, you know, it started growing on me. Started getting hungry for God, started realizing that, you know what, this isn't as bad as I thought it would be. You know, for everything I thought we were sacrificing, God put more in our hands and blessed us. And so before you knew it, after I got out of college, I went through a phase where I was like, well, you know what, I've been hurt enough by church people. God, catch me if you can. But I didn't realize that was a strategic part of my journey because I transitioned from South Mississippi into Birmingham, Alabama. And one of the first things that happened was I found myself back in church And not only back in church, but I was ordained as a youth pastor pretty early on of my time being in Birmingham. So from there, it's just taken root and became part of what we do.
That's wonderful. We got a similar story because my goal in life was to rock the world. But when I got to Atlanta, Georgia, everything changed. So I ended up in ministry.
You know, what's so funny about it, and I'm realizing this now, I don't want to tell my age, but I'm getting ready to turn another finger in a couple of weeks. But sometimes we think that we can outrun God, even right. from a young age, right? So I felt like because I was in my prime, I thought I had some things that I wanted to do first, because I was always this kid that thought outside the box. I'm more of this guy. I always paid attention to what kids do a lot of. And I knew, noticed in my community, a lot of kids like to play sports. Right. I started thinking, I said, you know what? I was like, God, we can't. A lot of times we couldn't get my friends to come to church. But if we were having like summer activities where we were cooking and playing basketball and football, they were a lot more inclined. And I started asking questions. Well, why can't we sometimes make our basketball league a standalone ministry where we start ministering on the basketball court or before we play football or before we have softball tournaments? Why can't we give words of life? And a lot of church members thought that was so outside the box that you couldn't do it. So I started developing this mindset real early that being a part of God meant you couldn't have any fun.
Right.
But little did I realize that a lot of what God had put in my life to attract the young people as a light is a lot of things now that I'm implementing. Doesn't mean because you're doing new things that you have to sacrifice your integrity or your character. It doesn't mean that you're losing in sake of holiness, but sometimes to reach kids, you do have to know how to speak their language. So I'm glad that God allowed me to grow up in it so that I understand the ploy that the devil is using to keep kids out of church, but also knowing what it takes to get them back in.
Exactly, because sometimes you got to build a connection with somebody first before you can start talking Bible to them.
You know, Pastor, it's funny you say that. I found out that a lot of this is relationship based. And I know from your biography as well, you used to be in the military. It's easier for you to respect somebody that you can trust.
Exactly.
Right? That you have that sense of relationship with, because now you feel like they have your best interest at heart at whatever decision they're making. When God places somebody over you that knows your wife, that knows your kids, that when they see you, they, how's your family doing? How's your mom them doing? Or what did y'all do for Christmas or Thanksgiving or whatever you do or don't celebrate? But when you have that connection with people where you're more concerned also about them than what they can do for you, it establishes a bond. And I found that out with kids. Kids may do some of the craziest things, but if you establish that relationship, now they can trust you enough. Sometimes, and I don't know if you how you feel about this, Pastor, but when I was coming up in ministry, I would hear the pastors preach, but I knew very little about the lives they lived when they got out of the pulpit. I didn't know what they struggled with, which I'm not saying is necessary, but I didn't know much about their relatability. I don't know. Do you watch sports? I don't know that. Who's your favorite singer? I don't know that. But sometimes with these kids, when you establish this relationship where they know, man, Brother Ed likes fried chicken. I like fried chicken.
Right.
It gives you something, you know, common ground.
Right. That's very important because that's part of the connections area that I talk about a lot with people. That I had a friend of mine tell me, actually he was on one of my episodes, that he had a coworker. They both liked football and they ended up talking about football all the time. And then one day it opened up where the coworker asked him a question about Christianity, about the Bible, about God. And that kind of opened the door, you know, for them to have that conversation. But the connection started with football because they both, I think, were Jets fans or something. They were talking about how bad the Jets were. And that's how
the
bond started.
Talk about.
Yeah, exactly. So that opened it up for a conversation about the Bible, you know, and you know, one thing led to another. I think the person ended up coming to the church and got saved. Yep.
Wow. You know, something that was effective in my salvation. So earlier, I was mentioning how God transitioned me from South Mississippi to Birmingham. Now, I was an Army brat, so I did live, a little bit of everywhere at some point. But as it relates to the story, South Mississippi to Birmingham, if you could follow me. But when I got to Birmingham and I started connecting with some other youth leaders pretty early on, there were a couple of older guys in the community that didn't go to my church, but they were saved, like maybe guys that I would work with. It was weird how God kept people in my path at every stop to keep me on path. And there was this one brother in particular. Every time he saw me, he made me feel like I was the biggest person in the world. What's up, man? What's going on, man? I saw something you. He took an interest, for example, to things I was doing. And he always encouraged me on that level, like, brother, you know what? I heard that drum roll you did in church yesterday. Man, that was phenomenal. Or man, I was watching your team, like you were talking about football. He found out what I liked, and he built upon that relationship. And he was like, you know what, and I see you getting in youth ministry. Hey, I got a small study group going on at the Boys and Girls Club. Come over here with me, and I'll let you speak. What that did right there was that let me know that he was paying attention. He was listening. And I think that's a big part of the struggle with kids. They don't think people are listening. And as a result, you see a lot of the showing out and acting out for attention. That's a lot of what social media has become. People that are looking for attention.
That I think that hit the nail on the head right there. So, what are some of the questions that the youth are asking pastors nowadays?
Oh, I don't know how honest we can be on your platform. I have to take it there to help answer your question. But when I first stepped in youth ministry, there were a lot of taboos that we just didn't talk about. You gave blatant, I mean, not blatant, but blanket verses like, the Bible says to flee youthful lust, and these sorts of things. But sometimes there are individualized things that when I first stepped into youth ministry, I never heard people just openly share. And, I'm 25, 24 at the time, and you have people that are talking about what's going on. And I think to help implement it, I got a job at Coca-Cola. And the first thing God did was place me in the school system. That was a big part of my route. So I'm in and out of schools and I'm talking to guidance counselors. And it's crazy. Everywhere I go, people say, are you a pastor? Are you a youth pastor? And I was like, how did you know? They're like, hey, let me show you something. And then they would take me into the bathrooms, and there would be all sorts of contraceptives in the sixth grade bathrooms and the girls' sections. So now my mind is spinning, and I'm like, this was never that open 10 years ago. But now at a sixth grade level, things we were having to be talked about in college, it's now sped up, and the young kids are dealing with it. So if you can fill in the blank, everything in between is now open. There's nothing hidden. There's no taboo anymore on any topic. Whereas we might find things, and it's like, hey, I don't feel open talking about this. These kids are having these conversations in the fourth and fifth grade level. So as a church, we doesn't mean we have to lose our tastefulness in addressing sin and developing character in kids, but now we have to realize that the old model of, we don't think our kids know anything about this or experiencing this. It's happening young. So we started a youth ministry at that time called The Vault. And one of the themes of The Vault is what happens in the vault, or what we talk about stays here in the vault. And it's not a means of keeping things from parents, because if there were things that would come up, I would discreetly talk to parents about it. So they were aware of what was going on with the kids, but having that trust that, hey, guys, what do y'all want to talk about? What are you guys dealing with that you want spiritual insight on? And the kids would put things out there to us, Pastor, that my mind was blown. Sometimes I'd come home on Sundays. I mean, it felt like somebody had pulled the plug and drained all my oil out, because I was not ready for this level of transparency. So you think about it, this is 15, 20 years ago. How much more has it evolved? So I do think we as a church also have to get caught up with what we're fighting and become educated on that level.
That's true, because a pastor has to deal with what's going on at the current time of his ministry. You, if you took a pastor from 1960 and put him in 2023, Well, he might be a faithful servant of the Lord, but would he be equipped to deal with 2023 issues?
That's a good question. It's a good question. And I think God, and this is even speaking to your listeners, I think God ordained each of us by times and seasons to be where we are right now.
Right.
Like I grew up in a time where my dad would play old VHS cassettes of A.A. Allen and tent revivals. And I was always enamored seeing those things because you could see some of the wildest miracles in these things. And it just seemed like fiction because I had never seen that stuff in real life. But now we're in a dispensation where you can have church and Starbucks and nobody think it's strange that a couple of people are in the back reading Bible, discussing Bible verses. God strategically placed each of us in the time we're in to make us as effective for the kingdom as he sees fit. So the fact that God didn't raise A.A. Allen up in 2023, but he's got Pastor Michael and Anthony Mitchell having conversations at this time, that is major to me.
Yeah. Major. Exactly.
I lost you.
Oh, that's right. You muted for a minute by mistake, probably. I don't know.
Yes, sir.
But okay,
yes,
I'm still here. Okay, so yeah, I think I was talking to some pastors not too long ago during the COVID-19 thing, and they said the biggest thing that came out of COVID-19, it caused more churches to go online, therefore they reached more people globally. So God took a bad thing and turned it into a good thing for the purpose of sharing the good news gospel on a global platform.
Indeed.
Because a lot of churches that normally wouldn't be online had to get online.
Wouldn't you agree that also, depending upon the makeup of your church, that it required a level of growth?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. From some of us, because some people before COVID didn't know how to get on Zoom.
Exactly.
Some people before COVID didn't know how to get on live, or if they're on live and they're trying to invite guests, how do you invite this person as a guest? So it's like, you know, we were always taught not to forsake yourself together as the assembling of saints, as some have done. So we always thought that always meant you were going to be face to face, but sometimes face to face is changing. And it, again, on our end, it's having to bring in growth, because now that you're online, how are you getting people to give? Now Cash App is coming to play, or Venmo, or Zelle, or PayPal. So many new concepts. And it's like, is God still in this?
Right.
But souls are still being saved. And I tell you, it's also made it more effective for the kingdom, because as a pastor, once you preach that word out, once you hang up that mic, unless that person has that cassette or that CD or whatever, that message has stayed in that building. But now once you put it live on Facebook and it's out there on your timeline, somebody tomorrow can come back and press play on that video from Philippines or Guam or people you've never met. And that word still has that same anointing, and that's powerful.
True, exactly true. I've noticed that a lot of young people, they have access to more theological information because of the internet. Some of it's good, some of it's terrible. I know growing up as a kid, all I had was the Good News Bible, because I grew up in a Methodist church and everything.
Okay.
Or the library. It really wasn't much theological stuff in the library, at least not in my section. But now a 13-year-old kid can say, well, I want to Google something theological. And next thing you know, he's pulling back all kind of layers and stuff. And some of this stuff is just, you know, out the ballpark. Because I know some questions that were asked that I was personally asked was stuff that didn't have any weight. But to me, it was a to them, it was a question that was tormenting them. And they felt like it was a very important issue. But from my perspective, it was something I never even put on the table.
There you go. I'm glad you brought this up, because I have been waiting to have this exact conversation with somebody. So I feel like God has ordained for it to happen here. But there's almost twofold things that have happened. First of all, you know, we understand that if somebody's foundation is destroyed, it can't build the weight. It can't hold the weight of a house. You take a kid whose parent maybe never brought them to church. There are fundamental things in their belief that they are lacking, because nobody has really ever taught them the weight and value of the scriptures. So now you take a broken foundation from a broken system, and now you start interjecting revelations that they don't have the perspective to see from a position from a guy like yourself who has come up differently, where you grew up reading, understanding, praying, asking questions, wash, rinse, repeat, right? So now you're starting to develop unbalanced kids that are in the gym doing, you know, doing curls, doing bench press, but they're not doing leg day.
Right.
What happens when you skip leg day?
Yep.
There's an unbalance.
Exactly.
And that's what's happening with a lot of these kids. They start coming to me or to other leaders or via the internet and start posting these questions. And I'm like, okay, I see what you're trying to frame, but you don't have foundational understanding of what you're talking.
Exactly.
And then on the flip side, what is hurting us is there are a lot of leaders who have not studied to show themselves approved. So there's a lot that also they don't have. And when they start getting asked hard questions, they don't have answers.
Right.
So what
right.
does that do? I have also started seeing a line of leadership based upon information kids are presenting online or in barbershops in these places. Now they're being pulled away. There were people that I grew up in church with who were once mentors to me who are now practicing other arts that the Bible has forbidden.
Mm.
So in that, there is this conversation that we as the body has to have. We have to increase our level of understanding.
Right, exactly.
We can't go into this portion of the battle now that information is no longer being withheld. Now that there's such a glut of information, nobody's fact-checking to even know if what I've been told is even true. Now that this stuff is being put out there, we as leaders have to do our job to always be growing, always be knowing the attack of the enemy, because when he came to Eve, he came to Eve with information.
Right.
Information
exactly.
that she felt like she was lacking, because the Bible said once Satan said whoopee whoopee whoop, the Bible said Eve thought about it and then she saw what he said, but she didn't see the full context of what was coming with it. It appealed to her natural senses, to that mind, to that pride, to that ego. And that's what a lot of this has done. And there's a lot lacking. So I do think we as leaders have to improve, but sometimes we as parents also have to do a better job of establishing this foundation with our kids so that when they are presented with this knowledge, whether it's in college, because college will do everything it can to peel back the layers that you spent 18 years building. But if you raise them up in the way, the Bible says, what will happen if you raise a child up in the way? He won't depart from the way he is taught. He'll come back to, he or she will come back to it.
That's 100% true, because the adversary will always ask you about something that God said. That's his main attack.
Yes.
Didn't
yes.
God say this? Mm. But it's not going to be completely what God said. Because you look at the temptations of Christ in the wilderness, there were theological questions opposed to Jesus, but they were half truths. It wasn't the full message. And what happens is a lot of people, they get involved with teachers who are not biblically trained teachers. They present half truths on the table.
Uh-oh.
And then they'll take a person in a complete wrong direction. So and if you understand that if your foundation is solid, because I'll say something to somebody in a heartbeat. First, where are you going with this? Number two, can you line it up with scripture? Because if you can't line it up with scripture, that means you're taking external information and you're making the external information the star when the internal information is everything in the Bible.
You know, one of the most dangerous things along that same line of what you're sharing that I see being given to our kids. Study the lines of a lot of the younger leaders that are prominent in the faith.
Hmm.
If you really pay attention, first of all, and you as an older man, you can witness to this, but once you've been around for a little bit and you're paying attention and you're listening, I know I've heard that message before. A lot of them have come up, they're preaching verbatim messages of Miles Monroe with a twist.
Hmm.
They're preaching verbatim words that they'll take just enough from that gospel to develop a message, but then they add a lot of personal opinion.
Right,
where
right.
Scripture should
right.
be. So it's like, you know, instead of us being taught, hey, to turn the other cheek, this new message is going to tell you, hey, man, I'm holy with a little bit of hood, because that appeals to what part of me? Not
right.
that part that, you know, must die daily, but that part that says, you know what, I'm all right the way I am. And this is what's hitting these kids. It's something that's pulling them out of that spiritual realm of knowing, hey, I need to always be in the face of God. I need to always be mindful of just the attacks of the enemy, or, you know, enjoying life, but on the same token, not losing consciousness that, you know what I'm understanding, that I need to be mindful of Satan's devices.
Right.
That's how the older generation taught us. But now it's like God meets you where you are, and he doesn't demand any change.
Exactly. Yeah.
And that's watering down, and that's just dangerous to me. And I see a lot of that, and I am perplexed. And I do sometimes listen to these big messages that sometimes focus more on me. It makes me feel like I'm major. But you and I both know that in me and you dwells no good thing.
Right, right.
It's not me that you should see, but it's the Christ in me that's the hope of glory. That's what we have to elevate. Don't elevate me. Don't put me in the limelight. Why don't you put the God in me, to whom all praises and glory belongs? But again, this new messaging has really took us away from that.
Right, exactly. Because it's the word that changes people. It's not the individual that changes people.
There
I can't change
go.
Anybody. But if they embrace the word, and first you got to believe the word is God breathed, number one.
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the adversary can convince you that, well, man wrote the Bible, if he can convince you of that, then it's not going to have any weight in your life. And I'll tell people in a heartbeat, I believe the word of God is God breathed 120%, period. So
me too.
If we're going to go to any theological issue, I'm going to the scripture first, and I'm going to say, what does the Bible say about this matter? Okay, either you have a Christian worldview, or you have a Christian worldview mixed with your worldview, mixed with some hip hopper's worldview. So you got
and
five,
it's easy.
Right? You got five worldviews mixed together. So you know that means you got no worldview.
And you know, so crazy about that, Pastor. When we start interjecting our thoughts, our feelings into things. And then it's like you and I'll read the same scripture and walk away with a different interpretation. And people will be like, well, I thought God was not confused. It's not God that's confused. It's us.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Us and what
exactly.
we add that changes, you know what I mean? But anyway, go ahead. I digress.
Yeah, well, that's one of the that's one of the arguments they'll present in preaching classes, is it possible for a chapter to have more than one meaning? That's a big
wow.
argument.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so they're not going to contradict itself regardless.
Not at all.
No. So let me get a drink of water real quick.
You're good.
There we go. See, anybody that thinks scripture contradicts itself, they don't understand scripture.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime our interpretation is wrong, we may have to go back and read the chapter prior to a chapter to get the bigger picture.
Yep. But you know, I don't know how you have been in your journey, but I know there's a lot of things that early on I received, and I believe that as I got older and I look back, or sometimes I come back to the same point in scripture 10 years later.
Right.
I'm
right,
like,
right.
man, I was off course on that. I missed that. And just having that humility enough where you could be honest about it. Like, man, you know what? I'm learning and growing every day just like the next person. I think that is also key to staying spiritually usable.
Right.
Is remaining humble. God can bless those that have that right perspective. Like, hey, I don't have it all together. Probably never will, but I'm going to allow him to work in me. You know, there are some people I have met along this course. I had a guy was sitting down in the tire shop getting my tire fixed. He's an older guy. He's a chiropractor. We're talking scripture, and he is amazed at the level of conversation that I am able to have with him. So he randomly says, where did you go to seminary school? And I was like, well, pastor, minister, I got mine from the School of Hard Knocks.
There you go.
And from being faithful in church. And then you know what he told me next, Pastor? He said, you're not qualified to talk to me. I got mine from such and such and such seminary.
Yeah, wow, whoop-de-doo.
And I'm like, hey, I don't knock if that's how God led you along the way. I understand exegesis and all of the other things.
Right.
However,
right.
This is how I got mine. You can't discount the revelation, understanding the scriptures and experience if it lines up with the word. Now,
right.
You're validating yourself based upon your own accomplishments. There is no humility in that.
Right. Exactly. 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 Because the word of God teaches us to be humble. I think a lot of problems with people who are formally trained, and I've got formal training behind me, that they think that they have arrived. I had a conversation with a pastor on one of my prior shows, and he said that when people get out of college, they stop reading books. You know, they stop reading complete books as far as the seminary trained people. So, and I'm a firm believer that the Holy Spirit is our teacher. So
if the
Holy Spirit can take anybody, the Holy Spirit can take somebody with a GED and get them to the point where you might think they're a college professor teaching seminary school someplace. You know,
agreed.
You know, but, you know, these folks talking about putting their credentials up. So I know a lot of folks got credentials, but I don't think they saved. They just got credentials, you know.
What's so important to note, again, I don't knock seminary because I wanted to go to seminary and try to get in, but God took me a different way. So I do have to say that. I don't knock seminary. I do not knock it, but just to say that, hey, you can't talk to me because you didn't go. You felt the Holy Ghost pulling on your heart so much from this conversation we were having that now you wanted to connect with me on a different level, but you stopped it because, and again, when it comes to even working with kids, humility goes a long way. Sometimes I have a certain way I like to do things, but I'll start talking to kids and sometimes they're so rooted in a different reality. It sounds crazy what they're recommending.
Wow.
But I'll
wow.
pray about some things or I'll watch. I watch my son sometimes. I always eat with a fork. He likes a spoon. I'm not saying he's wrong, but I'm like, you know what? I'll try that one time and say, you know what? That actually on this particular dish, that spoon worked a little better because I'm humble enough to receive from a child, or anybody is humble enough to receive from anybody. That's the kind of heart that God can use. So no matter what we accomplish, in order to really reach kids, there is a certain of humility. And I want to rewind this back a little bit because one of the reasons this became alive in me, this whole portion of humility, when I was first coming up in ministry, I noticed a lot of the older men were not inclined to talk to younger men and receive anything. It was like, brother, you haven't lived anything. You don't know anything.
Wow.
Okay,
wow.
Now there's certain life lessons I couldn't give you at 20 because I didn't have any kids. I didn't have a wife. I didn't have a home. Yes, I get that. But then there were certain things maybe about dedication to God that I can, because I have been fasting. Yes, I have been praying. Yes, I have been serving in the community and doing things for the widows and the elderly. So from that perspective, I do have a little bit that I can offer. And I think that's why one of the brothers I was talking about earlier was able to reach me the way he was, because he understood where I was at and was able to kind of lead me from where I was at to a higher level. But he didn't do it by talking down to me or looking down on me, but being able to draw the good in me and highlight that. And then it's like, brother, I want to be better. I want to be another young person like this brother was to me. And that comes with humility.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. One of the things that I emphasize when I teach is that we are the many-membered body of Christ. So as the many-membered body of Christ, that means the whole body has something to offer, and the head of the church is Jesus.
Yes.
So, you know, and if people take that outlook, or if that gentleman you had that conversation with at the tire shop had really embraced that outlook, he never would have said what he had to say. It never would have crossed his mind.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and I'll tell you something that humbled me. I was teaching Bible study about 10, 15 years ago, and one of the guys had a cell phone, didn't have a Bible. And that irritated me because he had a cell phone and not a Bible. So I says, after the Bible study, I says, where's your Bible at, man? He goes, Pastor
right
Mike.
Right here in my hand.
Right. He said, hey, Pastor Mike, check out. He said, Pastor Mike, you know, You made a statement about some theological stuff, and I looked it up on my cell phone during the study, and I saw exactly what you were talking about, and I got a Bible on my cell phone. Then I said, okay, I'm sorry, never mind.
But you know what? That's the conversations we're having now. We would have never had 15 years ago because times are changing. I'm the same way. I find out, hey, we used to have to sit down Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth. We would have to do that to learn the Bible, but now it's a push of a button.
Exactly.
It takes you right there.
Exactly. Mm. Exactly. You know, so I got Bible Hub on my cell phone too. So every now and then, if I'm putting together some sermons and stuff, I'll go to Bible Hub and take a look at different translations and stuff. So, you know, you got to take whatever God gives you and you got to use it. So if God's using technology to help you grow as a evangelist, minister, pastor, whatever the case may be, then use it.
Yes. Yes. Don't discount it.
Right.
Because all things can be used for the glory of God.
Exactly. Yeah, that's definitely the truth right there. So if whatever, anything took place during your youth ministry to just kind of like just threw you off guard or threw you for a loop?
Yeah. So I'll tell you, this was probably around 2007, 2008. I had an individual, he was a young man that had, earlier in his life, he had done some dirt, had been through that system, and God was changing his life. And he would come to work. We'd see each other. You know, we started developing that relationship. We're talking every time I see him. What's going on, my man? You know, a simple conversation, and the conversation began to increase. And then I started, you know, asking him a little more about who he was, his experiences in life. And then finally, we had built up our relationship to a point where it's like, okay, I'm inviting him to church. It's Mother's Day weekend. Everybody in church knows there are certain times of the year people are more inclined to come to church, and that includes Mother's Day. Men like to get dressed up and be seen. So I was going to give him an opportunity to come to church. So I invited him to church, Pastor Wright.
Right.
I noticed Sunday, and come to find out, he lived not too far from my church. So Sunday, I didn't see him. Wasn't really offended, because sometimes I understand people invite you. You're excited when they invite you, but you start thinking like, what about if these people look at me because I don't have church clothes, or all the different fights that go into it. So sometimes maybe I should have went and picked him up.
Right, right.
Reassured his faith, but I didn't see him. So Monday morning, I don't see him at work. I go out, run my route, fill the drink machines, get some Cokes put out in different places, come back. And I see him, and he looks a little disheveled. He's not himself. He's always a guy that he doesn't meet a stranger, but now he's very all over the place. And I'm observing the changes. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to even ask him about church, because I don't want him to feel like I'm hounding him. I want him to feel like, hey, I'm just trying to have a conversation. How you doing? Did you watch the football game? Or, you know, what you do this weekend? He didn't have time to talk. Well, fast forward in the story, verse 48. I don't know if you've ever heard or saw the TV show. Verse 48.
Used to watch it all the time.
Okay. Well, Birmingham is always on verse 48.
Yeah.
Well, verse 48 came to the job and picked him up. So now everybody's kind of curious. Well, fast forward in the story, that weekend, him and a buddy went to the club, party. Both of them caught, you know, there's this young lady that caught both of their attention. And I guess, you know, men, you know, two guys, buddies fighting for the attention of one girl, whatever, whatever. She decides she likes one more than the other. Well, anyway, he drops his buddy off at home, gets in his car, and then he thinks about it like, man, I can't believe that guy was after the same girl I wanted. Gets out of his car, fires one shot through a closed door, gets in, goes home. Doesn't even know it. But you see all of this unraveling on TV. That one shot he fired through a closed door somehow struck that man and killed him.
Wow.
Right in his tracks.
Wow.
He didn't know he had killed his best friend until verse 48 picked him up and all unraveled on TV. I tell that story because a lot of times all we think about are our successes. So to your question about what threw me off, it brought me back to the point that sometimes there are some things that you don't see coming, or you're not prepared for, you don't think, but it reestablishes this idea that you still have work to do. Because you haven't reached everybody you wanted to reach, and because you haven't been as successful as you thought you could have been, it makes you take this a little more serious. Not saying I wasn't taking it seriously, but it just drove into perspective how important what we're teaching kids about the decisions they're making, the weight it could have on their lives. So that's one story. I don't even share it even here where I'm at, because even now, all these years later, I was just thinking about this a few nights ago, actually in preparation for this conversation. And I wanted to share it because I especially if any kids, young people are watching or listening, you have to know that your decisions matter. The life that Pastor Mike is teaching you guys and talking about weekly on his podcast, when you have an opportunity to hear something that can bring transformative change into your life, don't take it lightly. So my biggest takeaway from it is teaching kids about the positions you put yourself in life, and knowing how not to let anything get out of your reach and your grasp.
That's so true, because the emotional-based decisions have probably caused more problems and done more harm than good.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And I kind of tell my guys that all the time. And one of the other things I tell my guys, because I actually, my ministry's at a homeless shelter right now where I also work at. One of the other things I tell my guys is that, that number one, this is not a game. God's not playing a game with us. He's not playing chess with us. This is very serious. And, you know, when you form a relationship with God, and then you kind of wonder how people make it in life without God. When you think about all the temptation and all the traps and all the devices and all the just the many distractions that the adversary has put together to get us off track.
Right. And I'll tell you, even as long as I've been in church, I have these moments where it's just me and God, and I get transparent. And I say, God, as a husband, I've got a lot of room for improvement. God, as a son, I have a lot of room for improvement. As a father, Lord, sometimes I feel like I'm failing because I haven't lived up to my own expectations.
Right.
There are things the word provides a mirror to us and allows us to see ourselves. But it also gives us this message of hope that no matter where you are, God can bring you from that place to where he desires for you to be. So you don't ever want to lose sight of the mirror, knowing who you are, seeing where you're coming short, but giving that to God, because it is God that's going to work in you to both will and do his good pleasure. I don't have the strength, Pastor Michael, to wake up tomorrow and be everything I think I should be. There were some things that I was able to whoop overnight, by God's help. And then there were some things that had been a part of my life a long time that day by day, I'm having to say, God, I give this to you. But the strength is in the word. It's the word that's able to make you brand new, and day by day to renew your heart. Because a lot of this, what we are fighting are issues of the heart.
Yeah.
Man is now reaching to us on a carnal level through all the packaging we see in our movies and our music and our culture. It's all designed to make you feel like you only live once, live it up. But God is showing us, hey, because you only live once, yeah, you're going to stand before me one day and give account for everything you do. But while there is still life in your body, I'm giving you time to get it right. And that right there is a humbling thought, that I have chased my own desires all my life to stand before God and realize I was not prepared.
Right.
That's a message even a kid can understand.
Wow. That's definitely deep, because, you know, some and people don't realize, if you're going to arm yourself with the mind of Christ, it's an ongoing progress.
Yes, sir.
it's something that you got to work on every day, because, you know, just when I think I know something, I realize I don't know nothing. That's
that,
like I'm teaching Genesis probably about the third or fourth time in my life, and I'm bumping into stuff that I said to myself, Well, how did I miss that?
I say, oh man, I'm laughing at you as you're saying this because I recently got glasses. And I put those glasses on for the first time and I looked at the tree and I said, wait a minute, you tell me that thing had leaves on it the whole time.
That's kind of like with scripture. You know, you read a chapter. Oh, well, one thing they teach you in when they teach you on you know, all these exegesis class, these fancy names, whoopee-doo. One thing they teach you is when you approach a chapter, approach it like you've never read it before.
There you go.
And then you're going to find something new. And of course, the Holy Spirit is going to reveal to us what we can handle at that particular time in our life.
There you go.
You know, because sometimes there's some stuff right now that I can handle that young Michael couldn't handle. Because my brain couldn't even break it down. It wasn't able to break it down, you know. But older Michael can now handle this stuff. But I'm sure there's going to be some more stuff that I get revealed to through scripture that I will be able to not only handle, but also share with other people. So, but of course, we have to know and understand that application, you know, is what we need to do. We need to have application when we read. You can read something and you can teach it all day long, but if you don't have application, you got nothing.
There you go. There you go. I like that because you do have to, it's like if, hey, you're praying, God, I need to pay this bill, but I don't have the money. And all of a sudden, somebody blesses you with the money.
Yep.
Okay, you prayed. You got the answer, but now what are you going to do with it? And that's a lifelong learning strategy, knowing what to do with what God has given you and being a good steward over it.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's like probably one of the best lessons I've learned in seminary school was God picks the place, God picks the time, God picks the person, and God picks the team.
Mm-hmm.
And then as finally, when I finally learned how to humble myself, all these doors just start opening up. But I'll start with humility, like we talked about earlier in the conversation. Mm. It all starts with humility, you humbling yourself, and you saying that Michael can't do nothing, but God can do everything.
Isn't it crazy how that's all connected?
Yep. You know, God has a way of bringing people together for reasons, his reason.
Agreed.
Yep. So with that being said, you got any words of wisdom you want to share with my audience before we end this episode?
I'll share with you guys just based upon where I am in my walk with Christ. And there's an old song that I used to always hear that was sung in hymnal form, but I want to extract from those words. And David talked about, as the deer pants for the water, my soul desires and longs for you. Now, that's a very simple concept. But
I lost you.
I'm here.
Yeah, I lost you. You might want to repeat that again.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Not allowing the things of this life and this world to choke out your hunger for God for a place when it's time to pray, your mind is leading you back to something you saw on TikTok. You know it's time to fast. That your desire for a Whopper is not choking out that desire. So if you can keep your heart clear and humble and pure, I promise you it'll make serving God easy.
Amen. Yep. Amen to that.
And that's it.
Okay. Wow. That's definitely powerful. And there's so much truth to that as well. Because you know something? We can get lost on TikTok.
Yes, we can.
Yeah, I can remember some days. I can like, Mike, why are you on TikTok looking at this mess? Come on, man, get off TikTok. You know, I'm like, oops, that just goes to show you that Mike ain't perfect either. Yeah. With that being said, Anthony, thank you for appearing on Clergy Talk Podcast, and I will definitely keep you and your family and your ministry in prayer. And with that being said, you have a blessed day, sir.
You too, sir.
Thank you.
All right.